are listening to Pervasive Happiness with Tommy Moser.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Thanks for joining us today. Pervasive Happiness Podcast, episode number 7. Thanks for your time. Thanks for your listen. Thanks for being here. Start off by giving a shout out to my sponsor, Gamergy. Best energy drink out there. Tastes just like Kool-Aid. It'll make you a great gamer, I suppose. I'm not a gamer, but I am an energy drink guy, and I love this stuff. So I'd like to thank them for all the free cases and for all the equipment and the sponsorship. And another shout-out also is to the Wolves Band. That intro, that awesome intro you heard in the beginning, that is from my best friend's son, Eric Barnes, and his band To the Wolves. They just won a big rock and roll competition. They're moving on to great things. Hopefully he remembers the little guys when he's rich and famous. So, hey, this next week, coming up soon, I'm not sure when, but I have a guest coming on the show, Trevor Stolbarger, longtime friend of mine, cancer battler, cancer survivor, cancer battler, back and forth, but he's got some words of inspiration. The whole name of this game is Pervasive Happiness. That's the whole reason that we're doing this. I fully, 100% believe there are leverage points. There are things you can do in your life that will make you happier. And some of these things, most of these things we all know, but you know what? We just, for some reason, don't do it. So I like to keep it on the front of my mind, and by keeping it on the front of your mind, it helps me keep it on the front of my mind. The one thing I found is the more I study the art and science of happiness, the more I'm realizing that it makes me happier to teach other people how to be happy and have a better life. You know, some of these things, again, we know, we just don't practice. So I want to keep some of this stuff in front of you. Here's a huge blocker of of happiness, and it's the title of today's show. It is a lack of power. Lack of power. That is our dilemma. And by ours, I mean you, me, and everybody else. Lack of control. Lack of the world just doing what we think the world should do, how we think we should do it, when we think we should do it. We want what we want. We want it where we want it when we want, and when we don't get it, it destroys our happiness. And I'm here to tell you that your level of control, your level of wanting to control other people is directly correlated with your level of happiness. If you want to have a happy life, you're going to have to start out by realizing this is not your world, okay? This is God's world. You just live in it. You have no control whatsoever. And I know that's a hard one for some of you to hear, because a lot of your highest value people in general, myself too, is control. We want to control our life. So let's start here. You have no control. I'm talking to myself too. You have no control over anything. Get that drilled in your head, and you can start the process of letting a lot of crap go that erodes your happiness. I mean, we're here a short time, 100 years or so. And my plan is to enjoy every single moment and teach other people how to do the same. You know, think about this for a second. You know, fools and fanatics, those are the people that are so sure of themselves. Have you ever noticed that? It's that small percentage of people that are the idiots, the fools and the fanatics. They're the ones that are so sure of themselves. People who become sane in their life and become somewhat serene and become somewhat normal, they kind of get at some level that they don't know it all, that they don't have everything under control. And with that comes, with that not knowing comes a certain amount of peace and serenity. You know, the Socrates, who was obviously a pretty smart guy, at the end of his life, this is what he says: all as I know is I just don't know anything. And I want to be like Socrates. I want to know nothing. I want to control nothing. That doesn't mean I don't try to control things, but I'm realizing whenever I do, that's when the frustration comes in. You know, and there are whole groups of people out there that, they just want to control you. You know, if you go against this political thing or that political thing or anything, you'll have people who desperately try to control you. And my nature is, I only really hate two things in this world. And I know hate's a strong word, but I hate these two things. I hate suffering. I hate seeing people suffer. The other thing is I hate bullies. I hate bullies. And people who try to control you, you know, that's bullying. So I reject that. And I encourage other people to reject it. I encourage you to break all the rules that don't make any sense. And then start to follow the ones that make sense. That doesn't mean I don't follow rules. I mean, I drive on the right side of the road. I have, you know, rules and my own rules that I follow. But I'm not willing to be just blindly follow the hypnosis of culture and the rules that society puts on top of you. I've recently gone through the process where I absolutely just reject the authority of the church, period. And for me personally, it's because I will not be commanded and I will not be controlled. And, you know, as you hear this, if that's something that pushes you the wrong way or bothers you, you know what? That is your problem. That is not my problem. That is your problem. Because majority of people, normal sane people, hear something like that, they're like, oh, wow, that's interesting. Or they could care less. But there's a certain percentage of people that I've found with this whole bailing on the religion, they just can't stand it. And they just have been losing their shit now for months and sending me. I got another message from this girl. I counted the message. She sent me 22 messages. I think I responded to the first one. But it's like, man, here's the thing, and this applies to everyone, don't worry about my life, okay? Worry about why you're worried about my life, okay? And that goes to, that applies to everyone, and that applies for me to you. I should not worry about your life. I mean, I'm sitting here, I'm in my office, and you're wherever you are out there on the internet. There should be nothing that I say that can take away your serenity. And if it does, that's on you. And if it's because I don't believe the same things you do and that makes you mad, man, that's your bad. That's your creepiness, not me. And, you know, my question that you need to ask, because here's the thing. It's all about being honest with ourselves. What takes away your serenity? Because something else, anything someone posts online, that should never take away your serenity. If it does, it's your bad. It's not there. So you gotta be, first of all, honest with yourself, and I got to be honest with myself too, because this whole power, wanting the world to be, wanting other people to be like us, or this to be like we want it to be, that is like the number one thing that's wrecking our whole society. You know, the religious dogma and the political dogma and this idea that I have to be right and people have to agree with me, it's not just wrecking your happiness, it's wrecking society. And I'm here to tell you, you can pull away from that, because this whole process, I'm freer than I've ever felt. You know, it shouldn't matter. And don't, you know, let's not to talk too much about that. I haven't lost my faith. I keep getting that question all the time. I've not lost my faith. On the contrary, it's stronger than it's ever been, but it's not in people. And it is not, I absolutely reject the authority of the church, but that's just me. And I'm not saying you should do that. I'm just saying, for me, because I was in a mega church for so long, I didn't want to hear all that. I just wanted to be out of that community, and that should not bother you at all. You know, if it does, hey, that's your problem, not mine. You know, and the majority of people could care less. You know, and my real friends are my real friends, and they know me, and we're friends, and it doesn't matter. The thing that wears me out is people, these sin, you know, they get really good at cut and pacing verses as though God is their cosigner. God is not your cosigner. God is not here, has authorized you to go out and tell other people that they're going to hell, that any of the things that, you know, all this stuff is just, it's so bizarre to me how people will, and you know them, they're busybodies, and if you are one, don't be one. And if nothing else, for your own good, because it'll make you happier not being one. You know, I had, the funniest thing is, I have parking issues. Actually, I don't have parking issues. My agreement is with the world is, I park wherever I want, and every once in a while, I have to pay for it via ticket or whatever. And what's funny is this matters to people. Here's who that should matter to. People who drive a little parking meter. Those are the only people on the planet that should care where I park, because it's their job to give me a ticket, or police officer, or if I'm parked in your spot. I get the best example I can think of. For 7 years, there's a no parking zone in front of the school where I worked. And it's because there's traffic in the morning and traffic at night. But the rest of the time, it was wide open, clear. So I would get there after school traffic was already gone, and I'd park there every single day for 7+ years. And what's funny to me, and I did get one ticket. I got one ticket, and I did the math on it. I got a $35 ticket in 7 years. That boils down to $5 a year, or 10 cents a week, or 2 cents a day. Now, to me, it's worth having VIP upfront parking for 2 cents a day. Now, it'd be one thing if I was parking there when there was school traffic and I was getting people's way, but I wasn't. I didn't. I came later than that, thank God. And what was funny to me, though, is, and we had a person in charge of parking, and he didn't even care, but there were so many people, literally almost every other day, someone would say, hey, you're, and remember, this is a public street, has nothing to do with private anything. It's a public street, so the only ones that can write a ticket are police or anything. But people would make a habit of, like, emailing me or coming and finding me and saying, hey, you're going to get a ticket out there. You're not supposed to park there. And I mean, people would be adamantly like, hey, you need to do something to move. And I would just generally smile and nod and keep moving, because it just blows me away. I mean, I'm not talking about parking people saying this. I'm just talking about regular people who happen to see me park that they're just busybodies that really thought I should move. And I'd never say anything, but I felt like saying, you know what, if you have a ticket book in your pocket and you have the authority to write me a ticket, then write me a ticket. Otherwise, shut up. Go live your life. Why do you care what I park? Because here's another perspective. Here's how you could think of it. You could realize that because I'm parked there, it opens up another spot for you. So you're welcome for freeing you up that spot all that time at 2 cents a day. You know, it's just an example of, you know, people's mad and crazy desire to control you, to make sure that you know that you got to do, and they get so frustrated when you don't do what they say you should do. It's not just religion. I know religion's my deal, because I had so many people come after me and try and like force me into, just, we're so mad. They're just like, you can't do that. You're going to go to hell. And it just, oh, it was so creepy. It is so creepy still to this day. But you know, it's anything. It's not just religion. Look at, you know, some of you just lost your shit over this election, like, because your guy didn't win. You know what? You have no control over this world. Let it go. It is not your mission to control anything. And that's not me saying I support this president or that president. If you know anything about me, I'm as anti-establishment as they come. There's nobody that I support outside of my wife and kids and friends and people close to me. That's not my thing. But if you, I mean, you've got to realize lack of power, that is our dilemma. And that will erode your happiness. It will erode your, until you come to grips with that and you realize, I have no control over the world. Think about this. You don't even have enough control to keep your heart beating. Why would you think you can control anything else outside of you? Why would that ever, you know, if you really start to think about it, it really doesn't make any sense that you would try so hard to be in control of the outside world. You know, climate change, another perfect example. To think that you have the power, and that's so political. If you don't know, it's pure politics. You're totally missing the boat. But to think, to literally think you have the power to change the weather, that's weird of all, first of all. And hey, maybe you do. But the fact that you get pissed that I make fun of it is like, wow, that's a whole nother level of, not only do I think you cannot control the weather, and will I continue to laugh at you because you're trying to change the weather? I can't stop making fun of that. And it's not to be mean. It's just because I think it's funny, because it's a blatant, it's the best example I can think of someone who just wants to control the world. This is God's world. This is not your world. You know, worrying about anything that's going on outside you, and that applies to, you know, what people think. I've just come to a point where I realize what people think of me is none of my business. It's just not my business. It's not something I can control. It's not something I want to hold on to. You know, one of the things I've learned my own lessons in level of control. And again, when I say the two things I hate, suffering and bullies, you know, I think back to, you know, when I was a kid, I was a bully. You know, not like too crazy, but there was a couple, you know, they're like, it was funny is there was this one girl that I always used to pick on. And then when I was a senior, I liked her. And when I look back on my life, it was like, I think it was just my weird way of liking her, a weird kid thing. But I don't know where, somewhere along the lines, I just really started hating bullying. Mostly because I hate when someone tries to control me. So when I see someone else trying to control someone, you know, I have three kids. And you know, when it comes to rules, because I think there's a, you know, if you want to, again, lack of power. That's our dilemma. We don't have enough control over the world, and it causes us to be unhappy because we have to let go of that control. One of the things that's helped me do that is having three kids. Okay, with the first kid, I had a lot of rules. I had all kinds of rules. I feel bad for my firstborn because there was a lot of rules. With number two is a full-on rebel. Number one was a rule follower, Sawyer. He still is. And love him to death. I have no idea where he got that trait. Did not get it from me. But my second kid is not a rule follower. And what I realized at two kids, I had too many rules. If you have too many rules in your household, something's always getting broken. And there's always a rule getting broken. You're always upset. And then with three kids, I realized, man, less rules is better. You want to have a happy family and you have more than one kid? Have less rules. Okay? Make your rules count and let all the dumb, silly stuff go. You have to. We have three rules in our house. Three rules, and that's it. Number one is have a good attitude. Number two is be respectful. And number three is have fun. That's it. Those are the only three rules. Everything else cascades down from there. And I have only three rules in my life, too, which is number one, have fun. Number two, make money. And number three, help others. And I do everything in sets of three because I'm a little bit short attention span. My mind works one, two, three. Too many. So for me, once we realize like a lot of the stuff, I just stop sweating my kids for some of the stuff. They're kids. They're going to do things that drive me nuts. And the more I let go of the rules, the more I let go of the control of them and realize those are three human beings. I'm here to encourage, grow into something awesome and not so much govern and control their life. You know, whenever you try to control another person's life, I don't care how justified you think you are. I don't care how righteous you think you are. You know, it's going to take away from your happiness. It's going to make you unhappy. I would get this all the time. All these people coming at me with all this nonsense, this religious stuff. And they would say this all the time. Oh, I mean this in love. I'm saying this in love. I'm saying this in love. And I never said it, but in my mind, I'm thinking, no, you're freaking not. You're saying it out of your control and your insistence that I agree with you. And it's gross. It's not love. So when you think you're controlling someone because you think you're doing what's better for them, you know what? Don't worry about trying to control anything else, because here's one thing you can control, kind of, is your own attitude. And, you know, I've come to a point in my life where I realize all is right in the world. Nothing can possibly be wrong except my attitude. And I will work on that, and I will continue to do everything I can to make that better and better and better, because that's the one thing that I can control in this world is my attitude. And so, you know, I just want to encourage you as you go through this life of ours, this 100 years that we're here this time, is you want to be happy, realize that lack of power is your dilemma. Your control issues will destroy your happiness. You know, you look for ways to let go of control as opposed to look for ways to control. And two things, look for ways you can stop being less controlling, but start to look for the people who are trying to control you, because man, they're out there. You know, I had this one guy that used to, he used to always come up to me. He was an older guy, and he'd always be like, Tommy, let me give you some coaching. And he was someone I never wanted to be anything like, and it just rubbed me the wrong way so bad that I would never say anything. But in my mind, as soon as he said that, I would mentally say, I'm going to do whatever he says. I'm going to do the opposite, because I don't want to be like him. You know, people will come up with a lot of reasons why they're trying to control you and make it sound like it's for your own good. And a lot of times it's your close friends and your close family. And I just happen to be blessed with the ability to absolutely rebel against anything and everything. And I used to think that was a bad thing and a negative thing. And now I realize, you know what, I question everything And I will continue to question everything, not to be a bad person, not to be a mean person, but because I will not be commanded and I will not be controlled by other people. And that's just because I'm not here to live for anybody else. And I also need to work on letting go of everything else, you know, everyone else's control. So I have two encouragements for you. Number one, look for ways that you're trying to control the world, and just realize you are not in control. You cannot even do anything to keep your heart beating. You cannot do anything to even continually breathe. Nothing. All these systems in place, God's got all these, God, the universe, whatever you want to call it, has all these amazing things happening for you. I mean, if you take a look at all that has to happen to sustain life and for you to be exactly where you are today, you'd realize you did none of it. You have no control to change it. You know, you're here for a short time and then you're gone. And you know, I'm doing a funeral this Saturday for a close friend of mine who's really young, 20 something. And you know, someone was talking about today again about climate change, I just remember thinking, you know what? I hope he didn't spend 1 minute of his life worried about climate change, because in the end it did not matter in his life. You know, and I think we're gonna get to the end of our life and my hope is there's no regrets. I spent no time worried about anything that doesn't matter. I just spent the time doing what I could to spread love to other people and just enjoy every single moment of my life and teach other people to do this the same. You know, if you just, every person that comes across your path, it's not this great profound thing where you have to go do or be anything. Just every person that comes into your path, show them as much love and grace and acceptance and appreciation and that you can muster for them, expecting nothing in return. And what happens is it makes your day happy. You know, at the end of the day, a lot of this stuff, this finding leverage points and things that will make your life better and better, helping others is a big one. You know, focus, grow, and give are the three pillars that I found of happiness. And that give part, if you don't do that, you're not happy. And what happens when you do that, I do it from, in a weird way, I do it from a selfish point of view, because I know when I give my money, my time, when I give to someone else, when I give kindness, I feel better. So I do it because I'm addicted, and I'm addicted to feeling good. And I know if I go out and I make someone else smile, it makes me smile inside. So my encouragement, let it go. Look for the people out there that are trying to control you, and just back slowly away from them. And look for places where other people bother you, because if anybody makes you mad about anything, here's what anger is. Anger is you not getting your way, period. There's no other way around it. If you're angry at anyone or anything, it's because a person, place, or thing did not do what your model of the world says it should be. You got to realize that's on you. All is right and perfect in the world. It's going like it's going, or even if you don't believe it's perfect, it's out of your control. Anytime you try to hold on to it, it's just going to make it, it's going to take away from your happiness. At the end of the day, that's what pervasive happiness is all about. It's continuing to get better and better and better. And I'm actually blown away that more people aren't out there teaching people how to be happy, because it's the most important thing in life. I mean, I think these five words apply to every single human on the planet. I want to feel good. And there's so few people that really focus on being intentional about that and waking up in the morning and coming up with a game plan. Because it's like anything else. If you don't have a plan to enjoy your life, you're not going to enjoy your life. The world's going to suck you in with fear and all the crap you hear from the media. So, you know, be encouraged. Go out there, learn the art and science of letting go of control. Realize that lack of power is our dilemma. You know, our dilemma is we don't have as much control over our world or the world as we think we should. And once you realize that, you can kind of let your hands off and start to, you know, and one of the things that always helps me is you gotta pray. You gotta pray that you can let go. Pray for your enemies. Pray for the stuff that makes you mad, because there's something about the prayer that gets it out of here and here, or even write it down and gets it out into out of you, out of your soul, out of your psyche. I want to share with you a quick paragraph here. Some of you will recognize it, but I love this. This is so deep to me. It says this. Pay attention. Listen. This is awesome. Acceptance is the answer to all of my problems today. When I am disturbed is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life unacceptable to me, and I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, or thing, or situation as being exactly the way it is supposed to be at this moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in God's world by mistake. I love that. I'm going to read it one more time for you. Lucky you. And acceptance. Acceptance is the answer to all my problems today. When I am disturbed is because I find some person, place, thing, or situation, some fact of my life unacceptable to me. And I can find no serenity until I accept that person, place, or thing, or situation as being exactly the way it is supposed to be at this moment. Nothing, absolutely nothing, happens in God's world by mistake. And I'm going to end with this, a prayer with you. It is my second favorite prayer of all time. My first favorite prayer is two words: thank you. I think that is the best prayer. I think that's all God ever wants to hear sometimes, is just thank you. I'm not sure he always wants to hear all of our dribble travel. I think sometimes he just wants to hear thank you. So I think that's the best prayer. Here's the second best prayer, and some of you will recognize it. And it's deep and it's powerful and it's true. And if you pray this with your soul, this will help you do this. Let go of that lack of control that we have, that control that we think we have. Prayer goes like this: God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the will to know the difference. I appreciate you guys. I will see you in about a week. Thanks again for watching. Thanks again to my sponsor, Gamergy, for these awesome energy drinks. Just gave me another case today. I can't drink the stuff fast enough. And thanks for all you do. Got all kinds of different flavors. And I'll see you guys next week. Until then, pervasive happiness, baby. You were meant to be happy. Start living like it. God bless. That's a wrap, Facebook Live world. Love you guys. I'll comment back. Sorry, I can't comment in between as I'm going through the thing. But anyway, thanks you guys for joining. Talk to you soon.